This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Welcome to DSC's Campfires with Larry Wysoon, a unique blend of hunting, fishing, wildlife conservation, and the outdoor lifestyle. DSC's Campfires is brought to you by DSC, Conservation, Education, and Hunter Advocacy, Hornady, Accurate, Deadly, Dependable, Trigicon, Brilliant Aiming Solutions, Taurus, Award-Winning Pistols and Revolvers, Mossberg, American Built, American Strong, Habit, Our Gear, Your Adventure.
Welcome to another episode of DSC's Campfires, and I've got a very, truly special guest with me this morning, one of the three amigos, of which two of them are sitting here, and Mr. Zumbo is back here in the back taking a shower, and we'll get him on here in just a little bit. Rick, it is such a pleasure to be here with you. We're on a piece of property that you've had things to do with in terms of hunting and fishing, we had a guy that drove how many miles to come here to go?
1,261 miles.
Which we heard about numerous times.
We did. Yeah, Zumbo, he repeats himself a lot.
Yeah, well, he drove down from Wapiti, Wyoming to be here close to Tishomingo, I guess, is probably as close a place as there
yeah,
is.
Yeah, we're actually in Melbourne. I think we're in Nida, Oklahoma, at the Flying Pistols Ranch, which used to be my daughter's ranch. Sold it to two of my best friends, reserved lifetime fishing and hunting rights, and so we're still here. I use it a lot. It's a special piece of property to me. 701 acres of
I can
paradise.
Tell you, as a wildlife biologist who's worked with a lot of different properties, to where I look at the vegetation, the terrain, the soil types, and a few of the animals, but I'm telling you, this is as good as there is when it comes to anything having to do with wildlife. We're talking about everything from white-tailed deer to grasshoppers and birds and the habitat with the terrain that you have, with the variation of the great variety of vegetation. Oh, I'm jealous.
The diversity is amazing. Oh, I brought a biologist here when Miranda first bought the place from Noble Foundation.
Oh, yeah.
Young guy. An Aggie, of course.
Well, of course.
And he told me that this is one of the most diversely special places for wildlife that he had ever seen. He said, I look at ranches every day, and this is one of the best I've ever seen.
There's no doubt. This is heaven as far as I'm concerned. Now, years ago, you got into turkey hunting, and that's what we're going to do this one about. We'll come back. I'll come up close to Lindale here, not to get up that way every once in a while, and going to be coming that way a little bit more often. We'll talk about a bunch of other things there because I want to come by. You've got a couple of different businesses you're dealing with right
I've
there.
I've got the Red 55 Winery there and the Ponderosa Poorhouse Brewery. And the Pink Pistol Women's Boutique, I call it the estrogen estrogen tsunami, because it's all tsunami. Sparkle and pink. And when men walk in there, they walk back out and smoke a cigarette outside like they're in the maternity ward, you know. So I built a real manly Hemingway's tasting room with big, thick tables and all my trophies from all over the world. But it's six thick with women on the weekend, so I just go up there and have a good time.
You know? Knowing you well, I know that you're having a fabulous time, and I got a feeling all those ladies that are coming in or leaving there pretty much with a smile on their face when they do.
And a case of wine.
And a case of wine. Even better. Even better. And the poorhouse is not, it's not P-O-O-R.
House. No, it's P-O-U-R-H-O-U-S-E. By the time I got it finished, I started to just go ahead and P-O-O-R it.
I know you called me and you said, I think we're going to change the name of it. Off the background, you can hear Rhodey. Rhodey is a most interesting little dog. It's kind of
took hold of
you several years ago and continues to do that, I think.
I picked him up on the side of a road. That's why he's called Rhodey. Of course, it has a double entendre because a roadie is somebody that helps in the music business. And he didn't mention the fact, but I'm kind of in the music business. My daughter's Miranda Lambert, and I spent some time on the road with her. So I was a roadie at one time.
Yes, you were, by golly.
Anyway, somebody dumped him 6 miles from nowhere, and he wound up being my sidekick for life. So,
oh, my goodness. Well, where are we going to go with some of this? We were talking. We've been fishing for the last couple of days and spending a lot more time laughing, I think, at different things. But we talked about a lot of that. And I know Mr. Zumbo as well, too, loves turkeys. But you really got hooked on trying to get as many of the different turkey species as you could, did you not?
I finished out my World Slam in Florida back in March with an Osceola. I've killed 3 of my turkeys with Ted J. Cox out of Florida, the outfitter.
Great guy. I've known Ted for years and years.
My oscillated, my ghouls, and my Osceola came from Tim. Luckily, I was with a really expert guide in Montana to kill my Miriams. That would be Jim. he was my guide on that thing, and he did a good job. I doubled on twin gobblers up there.
Oh, my goodness.
And within 3 seconds of each other. So that was a lot of fun.
Oh, I can't.
And then
imagine.
I killed my Rio with you and Jim down in South Texas.
And that was a good bird, too.
Yes, it was.
And you worked for that bird, as I recall.
Yeah, I did. Yep.
Seriously worked for that bird.
I called him in, and it was a pretty long, drawn-out thing, but I got him. But I've got all my turkeys, except the Osceola. I hadn't gotten him back. But all my turkeys are at full strut mounted, and I've got them displayed in the Red 55 winery. And a lot of people say, why so many turkeys? So because they're all different. They're all varied turkeys. And I tell them, you know, where each turkey came
exactly
from. Exactly. Tell them a little bit about the hunt, you know. So,
what did you use when you were hunting? I kind of know this already. So, Miss Linda, if you're listening, Miss Linda Powell, pay attention.
Linda Powell. I love Linda Powell.
I do, too. You know that.
You know, Linda was with Remington for a long time, but now she's with Mossberg. And several years ago, I pulled a stupid man trick by driving a screwdriver through a steel barrel with my fist with a hammer laying a few feet away. And I damaged my hand so badly that I could not shoot for a year.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And so I called Linda and I said, Linda, turkey season's coming up, but I cannot shoot that 12-gauge 835 with 3.5-inch shells that I was used to hunting turkeys with.
Right.
I said, can you help me out? And God bless her. God bless her little Florence Nightingale heart. She had a custom-made Turkey Thug 20-gauge, little short thing, 20-gauge, camouflage with an AR-type stock.
Oh, yes. So
because I could not put my thumb, and I still have trouble putting my thumb around a regular gun stock. So this had a pistol grip on it and an adjustable, adjustable stock. And I want to tell you, I love that gun. I don't hunt with anything but that gun anymore, and I've shot several turkeys at 40 yards with it. I try to use that Federal TSS stuff, and it works real good.
That does work real good. I just got a little over and under 410.
Yes.
And with some of the 410, I've not shot a turkey in a long time. I've been on a bunch of turkey hunts, but I generally just go and...
Yeah, we've had discussions about that. We've got to revert you back to a turkey.
You kill
all those big hairy animals.
Well, I like those animals that have big teeth, you know, big claws and big antlers or horns and all, and have hair. But I used to hunt turkeys a lot, and most of them were shot with the old Mossberg 835.
Oh, yeah.
God, I shot a lot.
Man, that's a wonderful, wonderful turkey gun.
Oh, it is.
But I knew with my arm like it was, yeah. I mean, it's got some whomp to it with those 3.5-inch shells.
Oh, my God.
But I use 3-inch 20 gauge in that little, and it's so light, fun to carry. I'm fond of it. I don't take a turkey hunting picture without my gun in it.
Nope. As a matter of fact, I've got several pictures.
It's a partnership.
Yes. Well, this 410, you know, now they're making these shot shells 410s where they're killing turkeys.
Absolutely.
With them. And I've shot years ago when I was with Thompson Center, I finally called in a gobbler. I'd patterned that was 12 or 14 inch barrel with 410, and I knew how to get that bird within 12 yards.
Right.
What I had available
Absolutely.
To me. And I finally got this bird to come in to where he was about 10 steps away. And I ended up shooting with a 410 contender back when. But I think I'm going to, that 410 with that, it's a cool looking little gun. It's sleek. It's comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, and all those kind of things. So I think maybe this coming year, I'm going to have to go back and do a little bit of serious turkey hunting and probably be using that one.
I might. Try the 410. I'm a big fan of sub-gauge shotguns.
Yes.
I don't shoot 12-gauge at anything except sandhill cranes,
yeah.
geese, and occasionally ducks. But even a 20-gauge with duck hunting is what I like. So I love sub-gauge guns, particularly 28-gauge. But I might consider getting one of those 410.
Yeah. That comes
guns.
With – I have not had a chance to shoot it. I actually bought two of them, and I'm donating one to the Texas Wildlife Association, their pack thing. But it comes with, I think, five different chokes. And I've just gotten them, so I hadn't had a chance to get them out. And I just got some 410 shells again. And so I'm not sure, but I got a feeling with the right choke in there.
Is that the Mossberg over
there? That's the Mossberg over there, the silver and the gold.
Is it wood, woodstock,
mine,
or is it the...
Mine are woodstock, because I like wood. And
yeah,
these have to be pretty nice
I'm
pieces
pretty
of wood
of
on them.
Yeah.
So we need to, and they're not overly expensive as well either. So
no, that's, I mean, I love Mossberg because they are affordable for him. I've got some pretty fine guns, but Mossberg is dependable. It's a working man's gun.
Oh, it is.
Guns. And that little gun is just my compadre. It's like Rhodey, sidekick, you know.
Well, you know, most of those guns are made in Eagle Pass, Texas.
Well, that's great. That makes it even better.
I was talking with Linda about all that, and I said, because years ago they started a lower price line called Maverick.
Right,
and
I remember that.
All the and I visited the Maverick facilities there in Eagle Pass years ago, and so I said, Linda, by chance, dude, they still do anything down in Eagle Pass? She just started smiling. She said, Larry, almost all of our guns come from there. I think the over-under, I think they're produced in Turkey. But everything else, the rifles like the Patriot that I love, I've been shooting those and just got off a really good bear hunt with Linda on that one. And so I've been shooting their guns now for a while. And when I found out they were made in Texas, I'm going,
absolutely, that makes it even better. Yeah, I like I say, I'm very, very fond of Linda Powell. I've two of my turkeys in Mexico, both of them, Goulds and Oscillated. I was hunting with Linda when I killed them, and that made it even more special. And of course, that girl, she's the Annie Oakley of the sporting world.
Oh my gosh,
she shot so much stuff, it's amazing. But she's a wonderful person to be in camp with.
She is. Like you, I've known Linda since you went to work for Remington, and of course she and Jim spent a lot of time together. When
yeah,
Jim was,
how many hunts? 72 hunts
yeah, 72
that they've
hunts.
Had together.
Because when Zumbo was doing all his TV stuff, Remington was their sponsor, and so she and Jim got to do a whole lot of stuff together. I just probably the episode right prior to this one is one I did with her in bear camp. And when she first got into the industry, she had not really hunted a whole lot of stuff to start with. And she went on a couple of different bear hunts in Maine. And then when she talked about whitetails, I invited her to come to Texas to hunt whitetail. So I took Linda on our first whitetail hunt in Texas years ago. So, and then I was with all kinds of different gun companies, primarily the Thompson Center and then with Ruger for a long, long time. And finally just decided I didn't want to go shoot, you know, a variety of guns. And so I called Linda and I said, she had told me, she said, anytime you decide you want to do something with our guns, she said, I'd love to. And I thank the world of her. So I called her. And so that's one of the reasons I'm back with I'm with her in terms of Mossberg. And they graciously sponsor this podcast, among other things. And I'm thrilled because I thank the world of her. I know her boss's boss real well too from years ago, so it's kind of like old home week whenever we get a chance to sit and talk a little bit there. Tell me about, now you've hunted the different species of birds. What was your least favorite of those to hunt, and which one? And then I want to come back and ask you what your most favorite was. And they're all fun. I don't mean it that way.
I tell you, man.
Or the toughest, maybe, is
what I'll
guess. In
Campeche, Mexico, in the Yucatan Peninsula, you hunt oscillated.
Yes.
Now, oscillated, if you don't know what an oscillated turkey is, folks, it looks more like a peacock than it does a turkey.
It does.
They don't have a beard. They got extremely long spurs, and they're beautiful. They're so ugly, they're beautiful. They have these orange nodules on their blue head, and it's, you know, when you first see one out in the wild, it's like, good night, this is a rainbow bird, you know. But we had to hunt those. Now, I understand from Jim that Zumbo hunted, when he hunted oscillated with Linda down there, you had to go and find where they roosted, get there early in the morning, and shoot them out of a tree.
Exactly.
Now, you shoot them out of a tent blind.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you, those little Mexican guys work so hard with their machetes every morning, and they brush those blinds in so well that you had a slot about that big to shoot
right.
in. And it's 110, 115 degrees in those tents. And you hunt them just like hunting deer. You sit there all day, and you can't call them. They had some actual recordings of the sound that those birds make, and they don't sound anything like a turkey, folks. They've kind of got a rumble to it, and they had recordings of those, and he would stick a boombox out the window about every 30 minutes or so and do that. And finally, on the fifth day, I lost a lot of sweat.
I bet you did.
And on the fifth day, one came around the corner, and he said, shoot, shoot. I mean, just no time at all. So I put the gun out the window and shot. Linda had brought all the guns. I was using one of their, I think it was a 940 series of 12-gauge. I shot it. We were shooting the TSS shells. And, man, he busted out of there and ran down there. And I was pretty excited that I got one. And he looked up and said, I'm sorry, senorita. He was telling me I killed a hen. I was mad.
Oh, God.
How did you let me kill a hen? I got down there, and he was just laughing
just
at me.
Yeah,
it was a good bird. But that was, besides being in the camp with Linda and another good friend of mine, Jeff Johnson, that was
That's right. Jeff was in on that
night,
too.
Was, yeah. And the food. And, you know, we were in a little farming town of 200 people. It was interesting.
Yes.
It was interesting, but, man, miserable. You talking about miserable in that tent for days. I did get to see a brocket deer while I was there, but I didn't have a license for it.
So. I've hunted brocket deer, I think, pretty much in the same area where you were, and was very fortunate to take one while I was there. But you're right. It was just hot and miserable. And that jungle, though, is fascinating in its own way. Of course, we were sitting on water holes a lot, and so we got to see tapir. And then night that we were sleeping in hammocks, actually, and off way off the ground. And every night there'd be jaguar tracks underneath your hammock.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding at all, but the food was fantastic. We were close to an old town called Pasahal, which was one of the first towns that the Spaniards established, like, oh my God, in the 1500s or something like that. And it was in existence until about 1953 is when they finally moved out. And so we were hunting the entire time, either around the Mayan ruins or the ruins that
and
the
ghost town.
Cool stuff.
That's real cool.
I really want to go back. To me, the brocket deer, I love the smaller animals, like even in Africa.
The dick-dicks and all that.
Yeah, the dick-dicks and the dikers and that little brocket deer, if you're not familiar with, there's a gray and a red. The red's a little bit smaller and a little bit rarer, but a really big one will weigh about 40 pounds and will have the spikes maybe about 5-6
inches. And you hunt with a shotgun.
Exactly. The one I shot, I shot with a shotgun, and it was a shotgun they had in camp, and it was 835 Mossberg. But God, that was fun.
But that's pretty miserable hunt. But I was in good company, and we stayed in not a real fancy camp, but it was comfortable,
right.
and the food was they had three obese, big jolly Mexican guys cooking, and they cooked shrimp with every meal. I mean, big prawns, you know.
Oh my goodness!
And it was great, but it was miserable out there in that tent, you know.
Oh my gosh!
But my favorite had to be when I did the double with Jim Zumbo.
Oh yeah, I can understand that.
Like I say,
that.
We're the three amigos, me,
right,
you,
right.
and Jim did a great job of calling them up for me. And I said, which one do I shoot, Jim? He said, shoot them both.
Shoot them both.
And they were twins. I mean, they matched.
Oh,
and,
my goodness.
I was going to get them mounted together until I found out it was going to cost me $400 to ship them to my
taxidermist
in Arkansas. So I just chose one. And
yeah.
I've got him mounted. And
what do you think? What is it about turkey hunting that you like? Because I know you like to hunt, period.
Yes,
you know, I know you like to fish as well, too. But what's so special about turkey hunting to you?
I like the challenge of calling them up. I'm like you. My preference is shoot them in the face at less than 20 yards.
Yep.
I mean, I want that challenge of getting them up there. I usually use a slate call. I never have mastered the mouth call for turkeys. Sometimes I nearly choke to death trying to use one. But I use box calls.
Right.
I love a slate call because I can choose what sounds I want to make.
I like to do
those little purrs.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I like to pretend I'm a hen, you know, and get the guy interested in me. So anyway, that's what I like to do is call them up. I shot my first turkey from a deer blind, like a lot of people do in Texas. In Texas, you can shoot them with a rifle.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was watching a deer feeder, and I shot my first turkey with a 243. And then I started taking 22 Magnums with me to the deer blind. But when I finally went with somebody that knew how to call them, that's when I really fell in love with it. Because, I mean, you got to be real still. There's some stealth to it. And it's just a challenge to me. That's why I love turkey. The only thing I don't like about it is rattlesnake season and tick season. So,
and the ones down in Florida with the cottonmouth moccasins down there, the cottonmouth is one snake that scares me. It really, truly does.
They're nasty.
Oh, my God. And you can smell them, and they're aggressive and all those other kind of good things. But, to me, the turkey hunting, I love anything where I'm calling. That's the thing. I use a lot of mouth calls. Natural messing with whitetail deer and all those kind of things. And to me, that challenge is getting that animal in close or rattling. And I think that's one of the reasons I really enjoyed turkey hunting way back when. But then I got really tied up in bear hunting, and a lot of times those seasons coincided, or I had X amount of dollars that I could spend. And well, do I go on a turkey hunt or do I go on a bear hunt? I'm going on a bear hunt.
Well, I'm glad you got a collection of bear rugs, and thank you for the that last one you sent the bear rug to me.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, the last
he
one
reclines on my couch where my dog sleeps.
Perfect. Well, I'll probably have another one before too long.
Yeah, I bet you will.
Let's talk a little bit about Red 55. How did that come about? Because these guys produce the finest wine, as far as I'm concerned, anywhere in not just in the country. And the country, to me, has expanded tremendously in terms of description of the area. But how did Red 55 come about?
Well, let me say, first of all, we do have great wine for the price point.
Oh, my gosh.
Our wines are priced, you know, $20 is mostly, well, $24 for our Malbec, but
right.
Our wines are very good on the price point, because my daughter told me, Dad, I don't want these priced out of the reach of my demographics.
Right.
And my demographics are college kids and young adults,
right.
You know. So I don't ever want you to price any of these wines out of their reach. And so that's why, and I had a chef tell me that my Malbec should be high priced.
It's
and,
fabulous.
I said, can't do it. I said, my daughter wants her people to drink it. But we started out, my wife, Miranda was out with George Strait on tour, and George likes to drink some wine, and my wife was out with him, and he asked my wife, he said, I've got some, this guy from California said, I've got a wine line. He said, you think you could get some of my wine in George's bus?
Yeah.
And she said, well, I'm sure I can. And she accommodated him, and she got to thinking, we had the Miranda Lambert gift shop there in Lindale.
Right.
She said, why couldn't we be selling our own wine? Well, one reason was, it's a dry town, and there were 33 ministries within a 10-mile radius of downtown. So when I eventually did get in there, I was Satan for quite a while in that town until they found out that it wasn't any ordinary beer joint. I'm an old 30-something year cop, so we didn't turn it into a beer joint. It was a tasting room.
Right.
But so we started doing, I think the fun part was the research, you know.
Oh,
we
yes.
Go around all these wineries. We were just going to get a private label. And I think our first order of wine was 4 cases when we finally settled on a winery.
Right.
And eventually, the person that owned that winery became my winemaker. She went through a divorce.
I remember that, yes.
I got the winemaker from her. So that's how we started out. But we've grown. We do 8,000 to 10,000 cases a year now.
And, cases.
That's a pretty good sized winery in Texas. We've been very successful with it. Recently, HEB picked up a couple of our varietals, and that is a home run in the wine business.
Yes.
So, but it's fun. It's fun. Our tasting room, we do. I'd be embarrassed to tell you how much money we do in a tasting room in a town of 5,000 people. But we draw people from all over the world because of my daughter's popularity. And literally 50,000 visitors a year come into Lindale because
of my wine. Oh, my gracious. How fantastic.
Yeah. And we make a lot of money out of that tasting room. Plus, our tasting room, I've been told by a lot of people that that's one of the best in Texas.
Well, you guys do such a classy job on everything you do. So that explains it right there as far as I'm concerned.
I'll give credit to my wife there. I can't take it. I'm not a classy guy.
Yeah, you are, but in your own way. What do you got coming up here in the next several months that you're looking forward to?
Well, I just got back from Alberta. On February the 6th, I was hunting timber wolves in far northern Alberta. We were 100 miles from the
Northwest Territories.
Yeah. We were deep in the wilderness. And I killed my wolf the second day, beautiful 96-pound male.
Oh, my gosh.
The guide said it was one of the prettiest wolves he had killed that year. So 2 days later, I was hunting again, and I had watched a lynx for about 4 hours on the baits.
Oh,
but it started getting dark, and I said, you know, I'm not going to make the guide come get me back here. We were like 75 miles from a house. It was that much wilderness, 2 foot of snow on the ground. And so I started walking, and I had to cross this stream. Well, I had a bad knee, so I was being very careful. Stepped out on that ice. Both feet went up in the air. I hit the ice, fell on my rifle. The pain was horrible. And it's a long story about that, but he eventually came to pick me up and noticed I was wounded. So now I've got a hurt shoulder that I'm going to have some work done on. But my next thing, I have been privileged to be invited to the Wyoming governor's one-shot antelope hunt. And if you don't know much about that, it's an offhand shoot. I mean, you can use grass, a rock, stuff like that, but you cannot use a hat, a backpack, anything like that.
If God didn't put it there, you can't use it.
You've been there and done that.
I did it last year.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, if I could convince them that God makes cowboy hats, I'd just use that. But
well, I tried to do that. That didn't work.
I know it does in Texas.
It does, absolutely.
But that is my next thing, if I get to go. I won't know until this Thursday whether or not I'm going to have surgery on my... I was going to tough it out. That hadn't worked on this one.
Well, and unfortunately, a lot of times you have to shoot prone there.
Yeah.
So getting down on the ground and then taking that full recoil, or even being able to get your arm up, because when you have shoulder problems, it's hard to get your arm
up to where you really need to. I mean, you can see I winced, didn't I? You've had to treat me like an invalid on this trip. You
know? Well, it kind of works out where all three of us kind of take care of each other when we're together like this.
We might be the three amigos, but I think we're actually the aches and pains club at this stage in our life.
Yeah, but we're still getting to do it, by
we
God.
Are.
That's
well, we're going to do it until we can't anymore. I had that doctor, he was going to do an MRI on me, and I said, Doc, you can't put me in an MRI machine. He said, why? I said, I got 11 number 6 pellets in my body, and they told me never get in an MRI machine. He looked at me kind of sideways, and I said, I got a defibrillator from having a South African tick fever from killing. And he said, I've learned two things here. He said, I've learned why I don't hunt.
Oh, gosh.
And I think you're about the toughest SOB I've ever worked on. I said, I'm not tough. I'm just lucky, you know.
Yes, sir.
But he said, when are you going to quit hunting? I said, when I die.
That's the way I am, by golly. We're going to have to wrap this thing up, unfortunately, and I'll come up to Lindale here for too long.
Do that. Lindale, Texas, folks. Pink Pistol, Red 55, and Ponderosa Poorhouse.
And is there a website or something that people can go to if they want to?
You can go to MirandaLambert.com and read my life.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, Rick, thank you so very much for everything. By golly, thank you for
love being with you, buddy.
It's mutual.
You're one of my heroes.
We'll do this again very quickly. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much for joining us this morning. We look forward to seeing you right back here next week on DSC's Campfires with Larry Weissing. Thank you so very much for joining us. DSC's Campfires has also been brought to you by the Crown Bar in the Grange in Round Top, Texas, Texas Wildlife Association, Double Nickel Taxidermy, H3 Whitetail Solutions, and Burnham Brothers Game Calls.